Welcome to the Dash Mindset Podcast. I'm Sherry Zevenbergen. You were born, you're gonna die, and your adventure is your dash in between. So make the most of it. Unlock your potential in all aspects of your dash by embracing your uniqueness and living in a way that's authentic to you, not by doing more things, but by focusing on the right things. I'm a former corporate leader turned coach who's on my own journey, and I'm passionate about helping you on your journey too. So on the podcast, we'll explore how to live authentically by deciphering who you truly are and what you truly want. Are you ready to take a step toward designing your dash? Someday doesn't actually exist, so let's do it now. Hello, friends. Today, I'm going to talk about a technique for getting out of a negative emotion spiral. We all get stuck in negative emotion from time to time, but generally speaking, we don't really learn how to get out. In fact, I think I spent a lot of my life just waiting for negative emotions to pass. I thought it was really just a matter of waiting because I didn't realize at that point in my life that I really had any other control in the matter. I knew I didn't want them. I mean, nobody really enjoys negative feelings, at least most people don't, but I wasn't always sure how exactly to stop them. I didn't know it was actually my thoughts that were causing my negative emotions, and I didn't know it was even within my power to change those. I thought waiting was really what I had to do. Now, just to be clear, I'm not suggesting the technique I'm going to share works for everything. In fact, I want to be clear that nothing I ever share works for everything. And I just want to emphasize that I am a huge proponent of therapy. Sometimes therapy is the best approach. I think everyone could benefit from therapy. I've had a therapist for years. It's awesome. It's just really hard to see and to work through the stuff that's in our own heads on our own, right? But aside from that, the majority of stuff in life isn't the really big stuff. In the grand scheme of things, the majority is the negative emotion we feel when we're cut off in traffic or when we're out of bread or when somebody's late to a meeting or when our son says something in a tone that might derail us, right? So I want to share this technique for when you're working through that kind of stuff. Okay. So in episode 10, I talked about thoughts leading to our emotions and how our emotions are a result of our thoughts. So our thoughts lead to our emotions, which lead to our actions and ultimately to our results. And I shared an approach for changing your negative thoughts. So feel free to use that one too from episode 10. Then in episode 11, I talked about how we all have negative thoughts, or saboteurs, as I referred to them. And those saboteurs hinder us. They sabotage us. And I shared a little bit about each of these 10 saboteurs that have been found from research. And we all have those at varying degrees. Okay. So that was episode 11. And by the way, I don't know if it's the former auditor in me that compels me to reference prior episodes each time, but I'm hoping it's helpful to you. And so I'm going to keep doing it. So it's partially because it's helpful, maybe a little bit because I'm a former auditor. So anyway, on today's episode, let's get on to today's episode. So I am an overall positive person. I can find the positive in nearly anything most of the time. Sometimes, maybe even often, to an annoying degree. I can be an annoyingly positive person. I get that. And I'm reminded of that every morning when I say good morning to my husband, who is less than a positive person in the mornings. He's just not a morning person. And so his general response is not words necessarily, but just a look that says, please stop talking. That's what I get most mornings. So I know this about myself. I know I'm not for everyone. And I know for the people I am for, I'm not for them all the time. I get that. But I'm also a hypocrite. And here's an example. Last week I was sick, so sick. And if sickness works the same for you as it does for me, you'll understand. I had not put any time on my calendar for sickness, which I'm guessing is the case for you too. When you get sick, it just wasn't on the calendar. Yet there I was. I somehow managed to teach the grad class I usually teach on Monday night, or I always teach on Monday nights, went to bed, and I basically slept nonstop until Thursday afternoon. And then I was still exhausted, and I still slept a lot on Friday and Saturday too. So I went to bed Monday night, slept until Thursday afternoon, pretty much nonstop, and then a little bit on Friday and Saturday too. And if you're like me, you've had the thought at one point, or several. Oh man, it would be so great to sleep for a few days. Oh, that just sounds like bliss, right? Well, it turns out it actually kind of sucks. So, I mean, I had a fever too. I was achy. I had all the cred besides. I was sick, not just tired. And we've all been there. You know what I mean? We've all been sick. And I didn't have a choice. I had to do what my body was telling me to do. It wasn't a choice to get up and, you know, be productive. So then as I started to recover, I gained some sense of coherence. I realized the number of days that had passed without me giving them the okay to do so. Because again, it wasn't on my calendar. A few days of my life just poof, gone. And I wasn't enjoying the sleep I was getting. It was just, you know, a necessity. And none of the things I had actually planned had been accomplished. And as positive as I was about feeling better, I mean, I was feeling good about that. I was excited about that. I was not positive about losing a few days of my life. And as I do, I started to spin. I started to focus on the problem, the fact that I had gotten nothing done, that I had promised certain people certain things by certain times, the fact that every call I had scheduled had been postponed, the fact that I had to figure out how to get everything done with fewer days of my life. And so it was helpful to recognize the problem. Oh, hey, yeah, all the things I had planned, I'll need to reschedule those. Yeah, great. That's helpful. But continuing to focus on the problem was not allowing me to come up with a solution. It was pushing me further from the solution because I was so wound up in it. And I think I talked about this in a prior episode. I think I talked about amygdala hijacking. That was what was happening to me. So just in case I haven't talked about it, or in case you don't anxiously await each episode and immediately listen each time, I'll go ahead and explain here. So our amygdala is the part of our brain that processes emotions. And not to get all, you know, I don't even know the word, techie on you from a brain standpoint, because I can't, for one, but also it's not necessary. When our amygdala gets hijacked, we get stuck in our emotions. And it's impossible for us to think rationally. So we all react differently. Sometimes we shut down. Sometimes we get frantic. Sometimes it's a combination of both. It's different for everyone and every situation. But basically, we stay stuck in whatever emotion we're experiencing. And sometimes, like I was, we get even more stuck. So I wasn't just experiencing a sense of overwhelm. I was swept up in overwhelm. I was becoming overwhelmed by my sense of overwhelm. And that's something we have a tendency to do, right? When our emotions are hijacked, our thoughts spiral and we go deeper and deeper into the abyss of whatever we're feeling. It might be overwhelm, frustration, anger, all of the above. Whatever it is, our brain clings to it and it's really difficult to let go. And if you did listen to episode 11, which I talked about the saboteurs, this was my judge saboteur getting in the way. I was judging the circumstances. The circumstances of being sick, an unforeseen event, which should actually be foreseen here and there. It's just we just don't know when, right? And I was most definitely judging myself and my inability to get things done. So the other side of my brain was basically shut down. No rational thought happening there until I could jerk myself out of it. And so my husband helped jerk me out of it by cautiously and lovingly saying, as he often does, "Sherry, what would you tell one of your clients who is in the same situation? That she should have powered through? That she didn't need that much sleep?" Now, as annoying as it can be at the time when my husband is doing this, it's ultimately very helpful when he uses my coaching with me because it helps most of the time. And so he helped pull me out of that last week. And then this week, we went through the whole process again. Because this week I've had a pinched nerve thing going on. I have a weird swollen Mickey Mouse-like hand thing going on, which my friend, by the way, pointed out would be super helpful if it were fly season, but it's not. So I might miss it later this summer. But as a result, I haven't gotten much sleep this week. That's the result. And so last week, I was overwhelmed because I had slept so much. This week, I'm feeling overwhelmed because I'm not getting much sleep and still not getting much done. So I'm feeling frustrated and overwhelmed again this week too. And so my husband has helped jerk me out yet again this week. And so I do have a point to all this. My whole point is that we all go through this, right? I don't want you to feel sorry for me. I don't, you know, I'm not concerned about the pensioner thing. I know I'm going to figure it out. But it's something we all experience. We all experience the unexpected. We all experience things not going as planned. And then when we finally do think, oh, wait, we're back on track. Things are going as planned. We figure out they're actually not, right? And it's super frustrating. And sometimes it can be even paralyzing when we get stuck in that emotion. And it even happens to annoyingly positive people. So now that I've gotten jerked out of my own negative spiral, for the most part anyway, as of this moment, I want to share one of the techniques I use for getting out of it, because it's something I use a lot, in addition to my husband using my own coaching on me. Okay, so the technique is called the three gifts technique. And it's simply a matter of coming up with at least three scenarios where a situation that we've identified as bad, because it's our own story that identifies a circumstance as good or bad, right? We come up with at least three scenarios where the situation could actually be turned into a gift or opportunity. And that doesn't mean inviting more of it. It doesn't mean doing nothing about it. It just means accepting it as a gift or opportunity. So it's a simple concept, but it's not always easy. It can be really challenging. Simple concept, but it can be challenging. Now, this is kind of my way anyway. I mentioned I can be annoyingly positive, and I need to keep myself in check sometimes, considering the person, the situation, definitely the timing. So it's not like I sat down and intentionally thought to myself, self, it's now time to utilize the three gifts technique. It's something I just naturally kind of do in my own head, at least coming up with one or two. That's just kind of my way. But something I love about this particular technique is that it really forces you to come up with three. Because one or two can be pretty easy sometimes. Not always, but sometimes. But three might be a bit of a stretch. That requires me to stretch a bit. So I want to share an example of this that Shehrzad Shamin shares in his book called Positive Intelligence, Why Only 20% of Teams and Individuals Achieve Their True Potential. And it's right in front of me. That's why I know the whole thing, but great book. And so what he shares in his book is an example of dropping and breaking a glass. Obviously, if you're drinking from a glass of something, a glass, your preference is to not drop it and break it, right? Unless, you know, you're getting married and maybe you're a bride or a groom in a Jewish wedding ceremony, then it might be something you're expecting that you're actually trying to do, right? But otherwise, let's say you're not a Jewish bride or groom. You're not getting married. You try to prevent that from happening, right? We generally don't try to throw our glass. But let's say it drops and it breaks anyway because unexpected things happen. Rather than wasting energy on being angry, blaming something, trying to figure out who you can blame for breaking it, rather than worrying about it, it would better serve you to say, okay, that happened. Now what? And rather than going on and on about how horrible it is while you're cleaning it up, which we have a tendency to do, right? Look for the gifts or opportunities in it instead. Again, simple concept, but it's not always easy. So maybe it's an opportunity to buy new glasses because you actually didn't even like those glasses anyway. You had gotten them as a wedding present from your cousin, Martha. And they weren't even the ones you registered for, so you're not sure why she gave them to you. Okay, so maybe there's an opportunity there. A second gift or opportunity might be that you realize you want to use plastic going forward because the neighbor kids are always over. It's making you super nervous that they're going to break your glasses, and plastic's more durable. And so, you know, this is an opportunity to do that. That might be a second one. And maybe a third one, which, you know, might be a stretch, is that you've been considering taking a glass blowing class at the local college. And this is an opportunity for you to take on a new hobby and do that. Now, I realize you might be thinking, seriously, Sherry, a glass blowing class, come on. I get it. But if the alternative is stewing in your own negativity instead, just ask yourself, is this really serving me? Or would I rather consider some potentially outlandish gifts and opportunities instead? What's it going to hurt? If nothing else, you can at least be entertained by it. Because so often we get so stuck in our negativity, we feel like, oh, this is helping. Worrying getting stuck in the negativity is helpful some way, but it's really not. I mean, obviously it's something we need to process. We need to process our negative feelings, but when we get stuck there, it's serving no one, especially ourselves. So for me, when I was sick, I was tired of being sick and I was tired of waiting in my overwhelm and watching it deepen. So instead, I shifted to thinking about the gifts and opportunities that came or could come from me being sick. It wasn't easy, but I knew that's what I needed to do. So what immediately came to mind for me was, okay, being sick had forced me to rest, which my body clearly needed. And that created the opportunity for me to step back, get out of some of the weeds I had been in, and just reset overall. So it gave me an opportunity to consider how I might approach some things a little bit differently rather than, you know, being stuck in the weeds. Okay, nice. There was one. I was able to get on board with that pretty easily. It nudged me into being a little bit more positive. A second one was that I had lost a couple pounds while I was sick because I hadn't eaten for a few days. So that wasn't too bad. That was pretty easy to, you know, consider a positive. So it had given me an opportunity to reset. I lost a couple pounds. Okay, cool. But then when it came time to think of a third one, I was getting a little stuck. So I was trying to stay focused on the fact that I had reset, I'd lost a couple pounds. And then one night, my husband unknowingly solved it for me. I was talking, like I do when I haven't talked to a lot of people, when I've been known for too long. And when I stopped for a moment, he said, "I'm excited for you to meet with people again." My third gift, a renewed sense of excitement for meeting with people again. The break had given me an opportunity to reset. I had lost a couple pounds and I had a renewed sense of energy and a renewed appreciation for meeting with people, working with my clients and doing what I loved. And as a bonus, it gave my husband a renewed appreciation for my ability and desire to do that too. So there you have it. A couple examples of how to use the three gifts technique to shift your negative thoughts to positive instead and to find the gifts and opportunities in a situation. It, as hard as it can be, it is possible. And also make sure you take your vitamins, drink water, exercise, all the things. I mean, try to prevent it in the first place, right? But not everything is preventable. The unexpected happens. So on that note, if you would like help working through your own stuff, I would like to focus on how you can make your life even better instead. Take a look at my website. Take a look at the-mindset.com. Reach out to me from the contact page there and we'll see how I can help. We'll see if we're a good fit because that is a super necessary part of the whole coaching process. So have an amazing couple weeks. I know you will. And I will see you again soon. Thanks. Bye. Thanks so much for listening to the Dash Mindset Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe on your favorite podcast player, tell your friends, and leave us a review. Follow me on my social media platforms highlighted in the show notes and get in touch with me at the-mindset.com. Share the topics you'd like me to explore in future episodes. Thanks again for listening to the Dash Mindset Podcast. We'll see you next time. Design and differentiate your dash your way and make today amazing.